speaker before the break. Carson Latott speaking about natural resources curriculum utilizing ecological-based golf course management.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. So my talk is going to be a little bit of a departure from some of these other presentations. My research hinges in large part on high school students who are terrifyingly inconsistent day to day. So, yeah, where some of you have to deal with weather and your plots, I have to deal with the homecoming dance. So, yeah, we'll get into it. So my name is Carson Latott, again, like was introduced, and I worked under Dr. Frank Rossi last year at Cornell, and developing a curriculum for high school students to get exposure to golf courses and ecological strategies and their management. So a little bit today I'm going to cover introduction to the problem, how I started developing this curriculum. I'll talk through the materials and methods that I use to develop the curriculum and its parts, how I'm implementing it in my classroom currently with live high school students, the feedback that I'm getting from those students, and what I'm going to be doing moving forward with this project. And throughout the presentation today I'll kind of change it up a little bit with some of the pictures that I took on the site visits where I gathered these case studies to put into the curriculum. So this first one's from a golf course in the UP in Michigan that basically covering a case study on converting a forest over to a golf course and what happens with land use changes, the permitting that's needed, as well as what happens on the ground with bacteria. So there's a widespread perception that golf courses are doing a lot of things that aren't that great for the environment. They're consuming a disproportional amount of resources and runoff, pest kind of things with pollinators. There's a lot of things that are happening that aren't good. And so what we've seen, though, is there's been a lot of research that there is, especially contemporary management strategies that are providing solutions to some of those problems. And there's a lot of natural capital there that people need to see. And so we can all delve into this research, but unfortunately a lot of high school students don't, and they're seeing a lot from their parents that just aren't quite up to date on it. And in fact, a survey that we found a little bit ago, 36% of the people that aren't golfing say that, you know, that they're not good for, that they're good for the environment. That's not nearly enough, so I wanted to change that. And a couple years ago, I was teaching a natural resources class where I pulled my students, and only one student out of the whole class said the golf courses were good for the environment. So we had to change something about that. So this is another case study that I went to Riviera out in California, where they're managing a invasive species, cucuyu grass, and how they're actually managing it and holding tournaments there, and it's a positive asset for their community. So I developed a curriculum called the Natural Resources of Golf at Cornell, and so I've identified 11 different golf courses around the country that are doing things that are either novel in their scenario with their interactions with the ecosystems, or they're doing something that might be interesting to students and open up their eyes a little bit. So I developed these case studies as a content delivery system, so that way it would be inquiry-based for the students and give them a little bit of exposure to laboratory opportunities that will follow, and I'll explain a little bit of that when we get into the units. And this was the Black Course at Bethpage, and I was studying their native grasses that could be planted around bunkers as a form of conserving water. So I made site visits to each one of these golf courses, including one video conference with a golf club designer out in Oregon that actually makes putters out of burl wood on trees. So each place I took pictures, interviewed the superintendents, and then took samples if I could. So some of the places, like in Chicago, I was able to take biochar that they're using to top dress some of their fairways, as well as some soil samples at other sites. And each one of these was connected to the natural resources standards that the National AF&R Council puts out that high school students must complete in order to complete a natural resources class. This is another site in California, Pelican Hill, where they use a large cistern management system to take fresh water and capture that and use that for irrigation instead of letting it run off into the Pacific Ocean. So I created a PDF for each one of these case studies, 15 in total, and then there's three of those for each unit, plants, wildlife, land, water, and people. Each one of these is going to be published into a book as well, so educators who do implement this in their classroom will have be able to use it either on a Chromebook or in a hard copy form. Google slideshows for content delivery within each one of these units. I use Pear Deck as my introductory system of kind of delving into the units initially. And then protocols for laboratory experiences as well as projects are on Google Slides as well, and then Google Forms for all of my formative and summative assessments, those pieces that would follow each one of the units. And so here's kind of a couple little snapshots of what these look like. The PDFs are kind of set up as you would typically find with a story out of a book. There's characters that give the students a little bit of context to what's going on at the golf course. Typically I use the superintendent as one of the other characters, and then the characters that are there interacting with each other are typically a little unaware of what's happening at the course, and the superintendent basically sheds light on what they're doing. And then Pear Deck's in the middle, then the last one to the right is a Google form that I would use as a quiz. And this is Chambers Bay out in Washington, and I went out there to study a little bit of the use of turf grasses to take traffic, and what tall fescue does on a green compared to using bent grass. So I've been piloting this at Montague High School, where I currently teach natural resources class as well as food science and an ecology class. Students take typically a week to progress through each one of the case studies. They read through the case study, they take a short quiz afterwards, they mess around, and I have to get them back on track every time. I think the case studies are so illuminating to them that they can't help their excitement. And then I give them some sort of formative assessment afterwards to kind of see where we're at, where the comprehension is for that case study. And then once students complete the three case studies within the unit, they take kind of a short test, and then we do a project, typically a presentation, and then they have a laboratory experience. So, for example, for this first one, it was the plant unit, and so at the end they were able to plant some bluestem and broom sedge in the greenhouse, which we'll plant in the springtime outside. And here's a picture at the second course at Pinehurst. I went there to study some of the management strategies they use with their trees as a habitat for a species of woodpecker that's endangered. So at the conclusion of each one of these case studies, I give the students a short evaluation, and basically it's kind of a test for me at that point. And so we're looking at the appropriateness of length of the case study, the theme, and if they were able to comprehend all the language there, as well as a takeaway message. At the beginning of this, at the start of the semester, I gave the students a short survey to see what they thought about golf courses. Had any of them even been to a golf course? And the likelihood of them, their thoughts initially, if they would interact with the golf course after this class. And here's some of the data that I've gotten from that. So as you can see, a 1 would be not at all, and a 5 would be all the time. How often do you think about golf courses? Kind of sad to see that none of my students were thinking about it all the time like me. And how often had you been to a golf course? And a significant amount of my class had not set foot on a golf course or even driven past one. So I'm working with a blank slate. That kind of factors into this. So this data initially was pretty disturbing to me. I thought I was failing in my job because I am pushing the bell curve to the left. Students are thinking that they are worse for the environment. But at the same time, I kind of thought about this a little bit more. And a lot of my students initially thought green was good, and that was about it. And now I'm getting a push to students are critically thinking a little bit more. And maybe it isn't so easy as saying that that property is green and that's good. So. I'm dealing with an audience here that is, and I don't want to, these are obviously my students, I love them, but they're so simple that it is green is good, and so I have to kind of find a third level to push them to, past the green is good to critically thinking to then thinking that golf course offer these ecosystem services, that there's something positive there. So I'm going to keep taking data on this and compile at the end of the semester and see, hopefully this bell curve will then shift back over towards the right, and hopefully all 28 of my students will have 5 on there. And so some of the information as far as each one of these case studies, how was the length, how was the theme. This is pretty typical for any kind of survey in a high school setting. Students have to read more than one page of content. They don't like it, so I'll take a 3. These are typically 25 pages or so, so not too bad. It takes about 25 minutes to read. And the themes, some of them are a little bit more engaging than the others, and I kind of deal with that. This one's probably the most encouraging for me is the language within the content. In those case studies, and most of my students are understanding and comprehending that language, and that's what I was looking for. So to get these topics that are pretty complex and relay that to 14 to 18-year-olds in a way that they can comprehend, and the grand finale for each one of these is to walk away with a clear, evident message, and 75% of my students are walking away with that message. And I'll talk a little bit later about steps moving forward. I'm going to try to tweak a little bit of my formative assessments to get a more clear and accurate description of that message to make sure they're not walking away with the exact opposite message that I want. But at least for now, we're getting something that they're walking away with and they can sit at the dinner table and tell their parents about at home. And this is probably my favorite site out in Montana, where there was a copper smelting operation going on for 100 years on that land. And a lot of the runoff from those mountains were going into a river that they were using as drinking water in the town. And so they put a golf course here as a cap to trap that runoff water. So moving forward, I have until January 19th to keep working with this curriculum until the semester is over with the high school level. So I'll keep doing these assessments every week to kind of gauge where students are at. And at the end of the semester, I'm going to have a speaker series where I'll have superintendents from the local area as well as some professionals that might be involved in fertilizers or equipment come in and talk to the students about career opportunities, as well as some of the ways that they're implementing some of the things I'm talking about in the case studies on their golf courses, as well as start to develop a little bit of a partnership with Michigan State, because I really want to start a pipeline of students coming into Michigan State, going into the turf industry, getting young people excited about it again. So this will be kind of a capstone for this class. And there's some of my literature, and this picture really represents what I'm trying to do here. You know, it's not so much of the hard science, I'm just trying to get exposure for some of these kids who've never stepped foot on a course. And a couple weeks ago I got to take my natural resources class to Arcadia Bluffs in Michigan. And so for some of these kids that had never, half my class had never stepped foot on a golf course, their first step was on the fairway at the number one public course in the state. And so, you know, seeing their jaw drop, seeing this course on the 180-foot tall bluff above the lake was pretty cool. And we got to walk around on the new course that they're building and actually get our hands down on the grass. And for some of the kids, we came back to class and surveyed them, and they said, wow, now I actually get what you're talking about when we talk about turf coverage and some of these void spots. So that was awesome. I still have some kids that complained that they didn't get to McDonald's fast enough, but it's okay. You know, I kind of got to deal with either or. So I already identified two students out of this class that were thinking a little bit about turf, but now I actually want to look into it as a major in college. And that's what I'm really trying to do, is trying to shift that a little bit and get more exposure. So, you know, I got to keep up the fight. And moving forward, this will get published. In the springtime, I'll be done with it. Develop it as a full Google folder for teachers at the high school level to use, and then hopefully pilot it at a couple different high schools, maybe inner city schools, different demographics to see how students react in different places. Okay. I'll take any questions if anybody has any. Right, so I kind of, this is a hurdle sometimes depending on where this would happen, because a lot of the teachers in the state of Michigan, agricultural teachers, will have plenty of money to buy this. So we're thinking roughly $30 right now for everything, all the materials included. But for some other teachers, that's going to be a bigger expenditure if you're thinking per student. So I think in the Google format, it'll be free to share the folder, but if they want printed off copies, then they'll pay for the printing costs. The idea is to keep this down low. Obviously, I'd like to make a buck here and there off it, but at the same time, the students getting exposure to it is way more meaningful. So probably the printed cost for each booklet, $20 to $30. Yeah, there's a little bit of the financial piece, but I'm hoping to get the students with the speakers at the end, that capstone piece. That's where I'm hoping that we can bring in a lot of the financial stuff. Some of the projects that I talk about in some of the case studies, there's a financial component, but a lot of the courses were the superintendents were kind of shrewd as far as, you know, sharing a lot of that part. But I'm hoping, as far as, you know, how much you can make in the industry, how much of a budget you'd be working with, when I have the lecture series come in, there'll be a little more transparency there.